My parents were coming in. Usually when I have visitors coming in, I schedule a speaker, and it didn't work out that way this time. And the Lord gave me something, and you call it a preacher's paradigm because it's the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, but there's many, 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 many sermons in it. Amen. You could have a series in it. It's easily. And so I'm going to give some pointers. There's some folks I'm looking at, I visualize my mind would be here, I think would be helpful for them, and they're not, and that's fine. I can go over that with them some other time. But I was, prayer, as I was talking with these guys earlier, or alluding to them this time earlier, we're always growing in God. I'm always growing in prayer. And I was joking with Kevin this week. There's a book by a lady, she was 1600s, Jean Guyon, and she wrote a book on prayer. They used to burn it in France. It was so powerful. Guys like John Wesley would spread it around, some other prominent ministers. And I had it. There was an intercessor who gave it to me some time ago when I was in Bible school. And I had it on the shelf. I looked through it sometimes, and I pulled it back out. And first Monday and Tuesday is when I was able to read some of it. And I was joking with Kevin. I said, some of it was encouraging. I said, oh, I do this. And some of it said, you know, I don't feel like I'm even saved when I read it. And so the point of that is, there's always things that we excel in our prayer lives and our walks with God. And if we're open and sensitive to Him, He's going to take us through points at some point where we say, you know what, I'm not quite advanced there. And that's not a bad thing. That's the Holy Spirit prying you into more of Him. And that can apply to prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is just one aspect of prayer. And it's a prayer you can pray every day if you pray it with meaning. And when I was growing up, when I played basketball, before we'd go out and run on the court, we'd always get in and say the Lord's Prayer.
Amen.
And Our Father. But what it was, it was just a form. And we would just say it as quick as we could and run out because it was a thing to do. And it was nice to acknowledge the Lord. But I think it's good when we have something where it's meaningful, when I know what I'm saying, I know where I'm at in the Lord. One of the things when Jesus spoke this, and if you go into the context of it, He was talking to the Pharisees. You can turn with me. It's in Matthew chapter 6, if you want to turn there, verse 8 through 13. But He was giving instructions on prayer, and He actually said in verse 7, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. And what He was alluding to was that the folks He was speaking to, the Jewish rabbis and the Jews, were very good in prayer. And some of them were better than others because they meant it. But most of the prayers they would do were simply a formula. It was very formulaic. And I put my 5 minutes in, I say the prayer, and I go about my day. And I have no idea what I'm saying, no idea what I'm doing. And for some of us, for some of us, prayer is a big part of your life. And there's always ways you can expand it. For some of us, prayer is something that you may really struggle with. And, you know, I come into prayer and I just have no idea what to say. I go in and my mind wanders and I'm all over here, I'm all over there. In my humble opinion, the Lord's Prayer is a good guideline for prayer. I can pray it every day. This week I was doing it every day. In the morning I was just praying it. And I'm going to give you quick little pointers. The teacher in me wants to take time on all of it, but quick pointers of prayer that you can do as you go through the Lord's Prayer and say it, okay? So it starts off, and I'm going to say this in verse 8. It says, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. Let me stop right there and say this. One of the things the enemy will use, and he's used it with me before with prayer, and I feel like this is going to be for someone in here. You don't really need to pray because the Lord already knows what you need.
Right.
Well, why are you going to take time to pray? But well, the Lord's going to heal this kid no matter what. It's His will, so I don't need to really pray about it. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Mm-hmm. And if you go through and read Scripture, you remember in Jonah when the Lord had set destruction on them, and they humbled themselves in prayer and fasting, and the Lord relented what He was going to do. You remember in Exodus chapter 32, when the Lord was going to deal with the people, when Moses went and interceded, and it says the Lord changed His mind and relented. For some reason, whatever the reason is, the Lord chooses to respond to our prayers. He partners with our prayers. It draws us near to Him. And when I pray, it makes a difference. And I say this for Father's Day. I'll say for Mother's Day. There's nothing like the prayers of a parent.
Right.
Nothing like the prayers of I call them praying grandmas. And I believe I am where I am today because I had someone praying for me. And I'm glad someone praying for me and say, well, the Lord's going to take care of him. It's going to be okay. There's something about prayer. The Lord knows what we need? Yes. But he still wants us to go back because there's a partnership between heaven and earth. For some reason, he's chosen to do it. If I was God, I wouldn't do it. God is God, and I'm obviously not. Like I always say, he's the potter, I'm the clay. He makes the rule, but he chooses to partner with us. So I hear what he says, and I echo his heart back to them, and it brings something together, and the Lord can move. Amen?
Amen.
So prayer is important, okay? And so, and it also, prayer also brings us back to God. There's a passage in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32, and it's one of those verses I've read, but I haven't read it until this week, and it says, yet my people have forsaken me days without number. And one thing prayer can do, if I say, you know, I'm going to just say the Lord's Prayer, we can go through, if you're someone who can go days without number without a prayer life, set like a timer on your clock or something. I heard of a guy, he had a rubber band, and he always do this to himself, to remind himself to pray. I don't like to go hours without thinking of the Lord. When I do, the Lord will come back to me. Pray continuously, amen? And it's something that connects me with the Father, connects me with the heart, amen? But it says, our Father in heaven. That could be three sermons right there. The first thing, he's our Father. It's Father's Day, right? He is our Father. Let me just read the scriptures to you about what the heart of our Father is. In verse 25 of the same chapter, it says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? I love this verse. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Our Father. He's a provider. Amen? Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you of you of little faith? I've heard it said this, and I believe it's true because with my own kids are young. But my dad says this, I've heard other fathers say it, when my kids are 40, I still want to provide for them. It's just in the heart of a father to be a provider. He is our Father, and I know people have had rough experiences with dads and things like that, but he's a gracious and a good Father. There's an old poem, the author's unknown, it says, said the sparrow to the robin, I would really like to know why these anxious humans run about and worry so. Said the robin to the sparrow, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father that cares for you and me. I love that.
Wow.
Our Father takes care of us. He takes delight. So when I approach him, I come to him as a father. It's relational. Amen? Prayer is relational, not necessarily formulaic. I come to him on the basis of Father. A lot of times when I pray Father. I have a prayer journal. When I write to God, I write Father because he's my Father. There's a relationship there. Amen? But he's also our Father, not my Father. Right?
Amen.
What does that mean? We see it today. Our Father. He's not just mine. When I pray, there's no room for selfishness in my prayers. Because he's not just mine. He's Africa as well. He's the UK as well. He's Brazil as well. He's New England. He's Florida. And so it's important that when I pray, I understand that it's not me, myself, and I, but I'm part of the family of God.
Amen.
And so, as a part of the family of God, as a son of God, it's just as much in my interest that the church succeeds in Pocatuck as it does in Nigeria and the UK. And so I have to pray, Our Father. So when I go to Our Father, it's relational, but he's our Father. I pray for my spouse. I pray for my family. I pray for the church down the street. Because, I've read this before, and it's true. I don't want to be in a situation, turn the AC on. I don't want to be in a situation, because this is easy to happen, oftentimes with ministries and with churches, and we don't see it so much here. My dad grew up in the Bible Belt, so there's like 1,000 churches in Wilson, right? And it's a small, literally, and these are Protestant evangelical churches. And it should be as important to me that our church excels. I don't want my church to be in revival while the church down the street is languishing. That can't be my heart. So when I go to God, Lord, I want you to move powerfully here, but I also want you to move powerfully there. Or if I'm being blessed mightily, Lord, thank you that you're blessing me, but my sister here is in a dry spot. Lord, fill her up, fill her up, fill her up, because we're part of the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We're all part as sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And I'll say this too, I don't believe everyone is a... God is the creator of all, but I don't believe he's the father of all. Galatians says we are sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes,
through
right.
Jesus. We are different country, different gender, different race, but these are my sisters,
yes.
And I'm their brother,
yes.
In Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Valuable, valuable thing. In Christ, all those things break down. So when I come to God, Father, it's relational, but it's our Father. And I can pray for everyone else as part of the body of Christ as well. Amen?
Amen.
So you take the Lord's Prayer as just a formulaic, and then it becomes something that's meaningful. He's also our Father in heaven. These are just quick pointers. Solomon said when he dedicated his temple, the heavens, even the heavens of the heavens, cannot contain you. So when I go to God, he is Father, but he's also the King. I have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so some people go to him just as that. They see him as the CEO. He's God. Some people just say he's my buddy. He's both. And so I come to him on the basis of family as he's my father, but he's also, I recognize who he is. And I was thinking, the only natural thought I can think to describe it, and it's imperfect, is you're from the UK, so the Queen in the UK. And there's this show, my wife and I watched The Crown, and it showed how she was like 25 years old, her father died, and she became the Queen right then. And even her sister would have to, whatever they do to the Queen over there. They were still a relationship as family, but the Queen was the Queen. And I say that, that's a very imperfect explanation to God, but it's the only one I can think of. He's the King, he's my Father, but I also approach him in fear and reverence, because he is God. He is King, he is the Lord. And we had a prayer meeting here a few weeks back, and I was telling them, it was one of those moments in prayer where I feel like if I was leading it, and I felt like if I said something, God would strike me dead type of thing. Because God is so sovereign. There's a place in our lives where there has to be a holy, reverent fear of God. And I approach him, Lord, you are King. You are my Father. You're our Father, and you're also in heaven. You are God. Amen? And teaches us how to approach the Lord. Okay. Hallowed be your name. Just giving you pointers. Worship, which we did this morning, I believe it takes precedence over petition. Mm-hmm. And so Derek Prince said this. He said, if you give me 10 minutes a day to pray, I'm going to take the first 8 minutes to worship.
Yeah. Yes.
Because there's so much more that can happen in prayer when I'm worshiping. Our Father, so when I go to God, our Father, hallowed be your name. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you got my parents safely here. You're going to get them safely back.
Amen.
Thank you that I have parents. Thank you for setting free. So thanks for all this. And I thank him and I tell him who he is. There's a story. I give Walter Buechler stories a lot. And he was sharing. He was in a meeting. And it was a big meeting. And the pastor asked him to come up and open up in prayer. And he said, God, we prayed. And started saying, thank you that you're King. You're Lord. And telling God who he was. And the pastor got up after him and started laughing and said, I don't think God needs a course in systematic theology. He knows who he is. And Buechler said, you know what? He knows who he is, but I think he likes to hear it.
Yes.
So, Lord, you're King of Kings. You're Lord of Lords. Lord, you saved me. You set me free. I come before you. Hallowed be your name. When we do prayer here, the reason we do it that way, we always start with worship most of the time to some degree, some form or another. Because I start off saying, before I pray, Lord, hallowed be your name. I thank you. I worship you. And it's a good practice if you struggle with prayer. Just take 5 minutes and just start. If you're easy to write, just thank you for this, God. Thank you for this. Thank you for this. Lord, you're my provider. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. And it helps ease me into prayer in a way I can't describe. It's just the Lord loves and inhabits the praises of his people.
Amen.
Amen. So we come to God on that basis. And what's the passage in Philippians? Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. So when I make my request known to God, I do it with thanksgiving.
Amen.
And so that's easier to me than coming in and do this. All of us love when we do something well and someone tells us, whether you show it or not. I honored my father earlier. He didn't ask me to do it, but he was going to want to hear that. Hey, this is who my dad is. This is who that is. And we do that to our Heavenly Father as well. Amen? All right. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Another sermon, but a quick thing to help you with this. There's a guy by the name of T. Austin Sparks. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But he wrote, to me, I think it's a gem of a book. It's called Pioneers of the Heavenly Way. And in that book, he kind of goes, the whole summary of his book is this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens came first, right? You go all the way to the book of Revelation, see the Holy City, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. Amen? In Daniel, it says, heaven rules. He lives in heaven. Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. His ways are higher than ours from the standpoint of, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I've given this before, but the principles of the kingdom of God are vastly different from the principles of the kingdom of this world. So, one example I like to give is in the kingdom of God, the greatest among you shall be the servant of all. Look at our political system today, the people in rulership. Sometimes I want to go through the screen and say, you're in this position to be a servant, not a lord over me. You're here to serve. It's a difference. So when I'm translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son, as Colossians says, my whole nature changes, and the values of heaven, a servant, should supplant what I'm trained in the earth. And the higher position I get, the more in charge I am. And the kingdom of God, Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, cleaned off camel manure from his disciples' feet. He takes the lowest place. Okay? Giving is something as well. We believe in the world, the more I get, the more I hoard. But God's wealth is wealth to be given away. Okay? Money should be flowing from us. And that's something I was talking to my wife. The Lord works with me on being generous, sowing into the kingdom of God financially with your time and anything that you do. So it's a different thing. So what happens, I'll say this, what happens in the course of this world? I was looking at old homes. For a short time I had a job in real estate and I took pictures of the home inspector. And I really liked it because it's still in my blood, I think. I like to go into homes and look at where the pictures would be. But if you take a big home like the one we're living in now and you just left it for a couple of years, what's going to start to happen? Yes. If I have a beautiful garden out there, we don't do anything. After a while, the natural course of this earth is that things deteriorate over time. Okay? That's why it's important to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because if you leave me to my own devices, and you take me away from the King, take me away from the Lord, after a while, if you remove me from that, I'm going to start to deteriorate, just like that old house. If I don't water it, if I don't give it care, if I don't do all these things, it's going to fall apart. So it's important every day when I pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I'm struggling in this area. Lord, I'm aware that this area is not a place where you're fully flourishing in my life. I'm not living up to your standards as king. So Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because if I leave that alone, it's going to continue to sink and sink and sink. Okay? Lord, I'm struggling in the area of finances. I'm struggling with this or with that. However you do it in the morning, Lord, your kingdom come. What does the scripture say about how things should be in this area of my life? And I want this to become a part of me, because if I stay away from it, the kingdom of this world, it deteriorates, and I fall apart and wither. Amen?
Amen.
The short synopsis of that. Give us this day. I'm winding down. Give us this day our daily bread. I have dependence upon God in every area of my life. Amen?
Amen.
It's not selfish. And I said this before. When I go to God, worship takes precedence over petition. But that doesn't mean we don't have petition. It's not selfish to pray for your needs. Okay? In And some people get so, well, I'm not going to do that. It's important that I pray for others. It's important that I go to God. But it's also, he wants me to come to him with, Lord, I really need this in my life. I need you to take care of this. My son's reading a book, George Mueller. Have you heard of George Mueller? The old faith preacher. And he had a faith Bible school. There's Zion Bible College up in Rhode Island. I cannot remember for my life the woman of God who ran that school. But they had the same thing. I'll tell you this story. Zion Bible College, it was an Assemblies of God school in Rhode Island. Now it's North Point in Massachusetts. Do you remember the lady who ran that school? Sister somebody. But it was a faith school. And they would pray, Lord, we don't have food today. We don't have food. And someone would stop and just give them food. George Mueller is the same thing that happened to him. Lord, we have, he lived his whole life like that. And he's someone else. I said, you know, I don't have any faith compared to this guy. Lord, I have a ways to go. He would just pray the Lord would provide. God is our provider. Amen?
Amen.
He is. And there's another aspect of that is to say this. It's not selfish to pray for those things. But there's seasons in our life. I had a season when I was in Bible school where I had really little to no responsibilities other than meeting with God and being married to my wife. And I remember God very provided for us amazingly. And I remember one day I was in my office and I was just praying and seeking the Lord. I remember him telling me, enjoy this, because it's not always going to be like this. And he was right. And now I'm in a different season. And so this was helpful, I think, for most of us. Give us this day our daily bread. I don't want to be someone who says, you know what, I'm just not going to work and expect God to just give everything to me. There might be a season, but I have a job. So I do. I pastor this church and I have another job, and it's provision. So how do I pray for that? Lord, I want to be the best worker I can be.
That's right.
Lord, I want to provide for my family, so how can I solve this problem that my managers are trying to find so I can get a raise?
Yes.
Lord, give me witty ideas for business and for things like that.
Yeah.
And it kind of partners with me. Amen? So I'm not just saying, Lord, there's another story. It's this guy in Bible school. He had family. And he wasn't praying. He'd go up and his wife would say, my kids are starving. We have no food. Where's your husband? He's up praying that God will give him food. And he would go into the church and give a testimony. Everyone would give to him. And it was almost worse for him. And then this was another Walter Buechler story. He said, I went to this man and told him, brother, you need to go get a job. I forget the illustration he gave him. But the man went and got a job. He was able to provide for his family. There's seasons in our life where, Lord, I don't know where that's going to come from. You have to provide it. But I do what I can do in the season and the place that I'm in. So if I have a job, give us this day our daily bread. When I pray that in the morning, Lord, let me be the best worker I can be.
Yes.
Lord, I want to get that raise that I want, that need. Lord, I want to get that promotion. I want this. I want that. I want to be a good provider for my family. Because right now, my provision, you've opened up this provision at work. Or if I'm looking for a job, Lord, give us this day. Lord, show me the place to go and put my application. Show me this. Show me that. Amen?
Amen.
It's a thing. Two more points. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Okay? 2 points on that. One I'm not going to go into much, but I will say this. He doesn't say forgive us our debts because we forgive our debtors, but as we forgive our debtors. It's expected that we do it. If we've sinned, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John tells us. Okay? I go to him on the basis of what he did at Calvary. But he still expects me. This helps me. If there's someone, because all of us have been done dirty in life in some capacity, it helps me to forgive someone when I stop and meditate on how much I've been forgiven.
Yes.
And I can realize, God, if you didn't forgive me, or if you treated them the way I'm treating them, or treated me the way I'm treating them, I'd be up the creek without a paddle with a hole in the boat.
Yeah.
I would be in bad shape. And I just meditate on it. And it's helped me in my life be far, far more gracious to people. Far more forgiving, because I just stop and meditate on how much he's forgiven me. Forgive us our debts. Lord, forgive me as I'm forgiving others who've done me wrong. Or if someone does me wrong at work, help me to forgive them. Amen. And also, you keep short accounts with God. Forgive us our debts. When I get up in the morning, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for this. There's a brother in God, he says he does this every day, or he did this for a time. Things he would sin, things he would struggle with. He said, I would repent of it, and this is what worked for him, whatever works for you. He said, I would close my eyes and take the blood of Jesus and just paint it over that thing and repent. And it was a practice that I did. It was a practice, something that he did. One of the worst things to do is when I've got something going in and I let it fester again, like I said before. When it festers and I don't take care of it, it grows up like the wheat and the tares. It grows up into those tares. And if I'm not careful, the thing's eating me alive. And I really need, then I need to go to someone, brother, I need some help with this. So, Lord, keep short accounts. Lord, I'm struggling with this. Help me. All of us have an area of weakness, or an area where we're tempted to fall and things like that. But in our weakness, He is strong. Amen. He is strong in His weakness. Amen. So just keep short accounts with the Lord. The last part is, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Mike Bickle said this, and I like what he said. He combined it to like a storm. He said there are all moments in our life where, you remember when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, and he says he left him for an opportune time. And Mike Bickle said this, and I thought it was really good. He said all of us can have times in our life where our guard can be down, the enemy can be heightened, and then there's an opportunity that we find. And if I'm not guarded, if I'm not, he calls it a preemptive prayer strike, which I like. That's why I'm using what he said this, not me. But it's almost a preventive thing. Lord, lead me not into temptation. Lord, let me read a passage. It strikes me real quick. Before I go out through the day, it says this, and this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who would not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What does that mean? In life, in this world, there will be temptations. Okay? If you struggle and you need money, and you don't know what's going to happen, and someone comes up and you see Jenny has money here, and she's just laying, and I really need that money, and the perfect storm comes. I need it. I'll pay her back one day, and I just take it. Things like that can happen, even to a believer, if I'm not prayed up. Lord, before I go into my day, Lord, guard me. I've done this in my life. Lord, I know I'm going to have this happen. When I was in college, this happened to me often. The guys I lived with. Lord, I know this situation is going to come up. Just being in my house tonight, it's going to come up. Lord, give me a way of escape. Sometimes it's like Joseph, and you just run. And then you make a decision to just run. Sometimes it's, Lord, maneuver me strategically before I even get to that point. So I can escape this thing that's going to be right in front of me. You can pray that way. Mm-hmm. Lord, at my job, there's these guys, and I know they're going to be doing this. I know they're going to be doing that. Lord, I don't want to be in that. Give me some way of escape. Let my boss call me to the side when they're doing what they're doing. Yeah. Do something.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just run. There's a gentleman, I'm going to tell you this story, I'm closing with this. He was a Christian, he was a believer, and maybe I'm sharing this for someone in here, but he was at the Regency Club. It was an athletic club back in my hometown. Married with kids, man in the church. And his guard was down when he went to the gym. And there was another lady there. And he kept letting his guard go down. And he kept letting his guard go down. So the lust within him burned to such a degree, he had to go to a pastor and say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You know what the pastor's advice to him, which is wisdom? He said, you run.
Yeah.
Find another gym to go to. If you have the number, delete it. Sometimes it takes that action for us to do that. But the Lord can help us. There's a passage in Psalms. I believe it's in Psalms. It's David. I don't know where it is right now. Okay. Yeah, Psalms chapter 19. Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, that I shall be blameless. So So before I go out to my day, not so much a secret sin that I struggle with, but something that may be hidden that the enemy is going to take opportunity to use. Lord, you know the landmines before I leave the day. You know the landmines I might face at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Right now it's 7. Lord, guard me. Keep me prayed up. Send your ministering angels. Shield me, protect me, and keep me pure and holy in your sight. Amen. That's just a quick synopsis of the Lord's Prayer. You see how I can go in and pray this, Our Father, and I can just stop with that. Who art in heaven, and I can just stop with that. Hallowed be your name, and I worship, and I stop with that. Lord, let your kingdom come, and your will be done, here in my earth as it is in heaven, and I can just stop with that. Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Forgive me my debts, as I forgive those. Lord, lead me not to temptation, but deliver me from evil. And it's something that's no longer just a formulaic prayer that I pray really fast and feel good about myself. It's also a tool to prayer. If you struggle with prayer, the heart of the Father is in this. Use this as a template. Tomorrow when you get up in the morning, today when you go home, open up Matthew chapter 6. Remember what I'm saying. Bill's recording it back there. Go back and listen if you need. Find some literature on it and take it through, even if it's 10 minutes, and just go through. And it helps you with your prayers, and it connects you to the heart of the Father, and it prepares you for your day to be a man and woman of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father God, we love you. You are our Father. You are our Heavenly Father. You're a good Father. Lord, we are your children, the sheep of your pasture. And we love you as the body of Christ today that represents different nations and different continents, that we're all here worshiping you together. Lord, exploring your word together. We just say you are God. You are Father. We love you, Jesus. You are King of Kings. You're Lord of Lords. You're our friend who sticks closer than the brother. And you're also King of everything over the earth. And we're honored, Jesus. We're honored, we're honored, we're honored that we can be your children. We love you, we thank you, and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You guys, go home.